This is CNA Campus, the Assembly Ground from NUS.
Hello there, I'm Zachary Tham, and welcome to this episode of NUS, the Assembly Ground. Today, I'm diving into the lucrative world of investing. More specifically, why are young people so invested in investing? Now, my curiosity comes a year on from the sensational turn of market tides against mega investors.
The GameStop share frenzy, battle between bullish day traders and hedge fund short sellers.
David versus Goliath story.
AMC and other meme stocks have rebounded aggressively. GameStop shares have now risen some 700%.
Then came the rise of meme stocks.
A cryptocurrency that was originally created as a joke, trading 800% up.
Wall Street Bets is a wild west of stock investing advice and memes.
Phrases like
apes together strong
and
diamond hands
annoyingly plaguing our social media feeds for the better part of the year. And of course, how could I leave out the meteoric ascension of non-fungible tokens or NFTs? We've all been inundated with finance terms or stock speak over the past year. And this has captured the imagination of young investors worldwide. Estimates say 8 out of every 10 young Singaporeans are already investing. And that got me wondering, when and how did all my friends suddenly become finance gurus?
I started investing when I was 21 because I thought that it would be a good way to have an additional income stream.
Right, so I jumped on the Bitcoin hype train back in 2018 because my friend was really into it and he actually convinced us all to put in a little money.
I saw my friends making money and spending more. I felt left out for still relying on my parents.
I haven't put money into investing, but I really want to start. Everyone's doing it nowadays and I don't want to be left behind.
I also started investing later in 2020 because of all the brokerage apps that started popping up. So I think it made it really easy and more affordable to buy stocks, and I thought, why not give it a go?
The wealth of investment platforms today has made it easier for investors, especially young ones who haven't a clue. Let's find out more from one of the leading investment platforms here. I'm joined by So Sin Ting. She's Chief Client Officer at Endowus. Sinting, are you able to tell me how many young people are using Endowus?
We've seen a really healthy growth in the proportion of younger investors aged between 21 and 35 on the Endowus platform. So it actually grew from about 29% in January 2020 to about 45% in January 2022, so over 2 years. And we also, during this time, lowered our minimum investment from 10,000 to 1,000. And that really helped to broaden our Gen Z client base.
So what's different about this new generation of investors? Why are they starting to invest early?
Youth really do want to invest early. Seeing more young investors start early is an amazing trend. If we don't start as early as we can, it really becomes increasingly difficult to ensure that we all have enough to live comfortably as we grow older. So time is your best asset when it comes to investing. It's the best gift that you can give yourself, right? And the younger generation tend to be a lot more open and trying new digital platforms and to rely less on others or traditional channels. And I think these younger investors will also reshape the investing world. You know, Gen Zs they're more deliberate about where their investments are going and the kind of impact that they can create.
The allure of money can be enticing, especially for younger investors who want to grow their lean bank balance. So should young investors risk their savings on investing?
I think, you know, firstly, no matter what the source of funding is, you know, whether it's from their parents or money that they've saved up, you know, I always advise investors to save enough money for a rainy day, for emergency funds, before they even think about investing, right? And then secondly, they should be prepared to set aside this money for long-term investing. So doesn't matter how small or large the sum is, but it shouldn't be money that they may need in the next few months or perhaps even the next year or so, because honestly, nobody can predict where markets will be in the short term. So, you know, with these points in mind, I think it's absolutely wise to be thinking about investing early on, because what you're giving yourself is a longer runway for your investments to really grow and compound across time.
But a first foray into the complex world of finance is rarely an easy one. So how do apps like Endowus guide the novice investor?
There are some barriers to start, which include a lack of investment knowledge, a more limited budget. And there's also a fear of starting because they think that investments can be very, very risky. So on the Endowus platform, we try to focus really on financial literacy to help our younger investors and all investors for that matter, right, to make better investment decisions.
While apps like Endowus may make it their mission to educate young investors to make sensible investment choices, is there just too much information out there muddying the waters? Or worse, painting an inaccurate picture about what investing really is?
I think it's really easy to get enticed by investments that promise you that you can get rich quick. I'm sure you've seen it as well, right? There's a growing number of influencers that share finance and investment-based content on social media. I would say that generally, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And there's a line between investing and gambling, and you really want to make sure that your hard-earned savings aren't being gambled away. You know, you really want to arm yourself with knowledge so that you can make informed investment decisions. And maybe, you know, the sources that you get this information from shouldn't be the finfluencers, right, who are not financial professionals. Because acting upon the kind of financial advice that you see on social media can really carry huge risks and very high stake consequences.
Social media platforms are swarming with finance influencers, finfluencers, as Sinting said, who tend to paint a rosy picture of investing. Is investing really that easy? And can these finfluencers be trusted? I'll speak to two of them. Coming up,
there's a lot of free good content available, and they put in effort to bring value to people for free. So those are the people that I would trust more, because one, you get to actually see and watch whether they make sense or not. And with so little money, as a young person, there's just so much opportunity lost if you invest in the wrong thing, or at least it seems like it's opportunity cost, right? So you think a lot, and I think that for us was the most difficult thing. Like, should we put our money in crypto? Should we put our money in NFTs? Like, if I put in money in one thing, is it gonna result in lost in opportunity somewhere else?
This is CNA Campus, the assembly ground from NUS.
Finfluencers are a dime a dozen these days, but can they be trusted as an educational resource? Or is it all a charade? I'm speaking to two finfluencers, sibling duo Sarah and Aaron Wee, who go by the Weeblings on TikTok and Instagram. They tell me why they share their investment journey on social media.
It's kind of fun, interesting, but also, we don't have a lot of friends that we can just like, hey, do you know about this new crypto project? Hey, do you know that if you put money into this like 2 months ago, it has doubled? So it's quite fun things to share, but not everyone is interested in it. So I think going online and sharing it is a very good way for us to make friends with new people, like-minded people as well. And it gives us that level of accountability because we're always sharing what we're doing. So that makes us more careful with how we invest. And when we are making an investment decision, Like, we always think like, oh, I'm going to have to share this. Like, is this really the best decision?
Sometimes if there's no one to keep you accountable, you get greedy and you try to like wait it out. And then, you know, it's a bad thing because when you're trading, you're supposed to follow the rules that you set for yourself.
So as young investors yourselves, what difficulties did you face when you were getting started?
I think the biggest difficulty is what to invest. Because in the past, you never really know what to invest and there wasn't information available online. Whereas now it's the opposite. There is just too much information online. You don't really know what to invest. It could be crypto, it could be forex, stocks, commodities, futures, options. There's just so many things. And that just puts people in like an analysis paralysis. They're not sure where to go from here.
And despite the supposed gap in capital, could amateur retail investors have an edge over older investors?
I think when you're younger, you have less responsibility, so you are able to FOMO or like ape to the market with less risk. Whereas people who are older and are married or already have bought a house, they can't really take on that risk.
Not to mention that the youth have perhaps the most valuable resource in the world. Time.
In total, we probably spend 10 hours, sometimes 12 if it's a very bad day, on TikTok, on investing, on work, school, our different side hustles and things like that.
It's quite hard for me to get burnt out at the moment because I'm just doing things that I enjoy. This may change when I start working, but for now, I enjoy everything that I'm doing at the moment. It doesn't feel like work.
With the prevalence of investment scams these days, perhaps many young people have wised up and taken to educating themselves.
We have gotten scammed before. We had a friend who wanted us to sign up using his referral code and he would get a huge payout. But the whole thing was a Ponzi scheme and a scam, and then they ran away with a lot of our money. At the end of the day, I guess that's why it pushed both me and my sister to learn a bit more about investing on our own, because we didn't want to rely on someone else, because maybe they didn't do their due diligence.
Correct, because he was our financial advisor as well. So I think it was just a whole year of bad experiences after another. And that's how Aaron and I really realized that taking care of your own finances is very, very important. You shouldn't rely on anyone else, and even people who are so-called qualified, that information, figure it out on your own. Do your own research, do your own practice.
So, with so much information out there and so many finfluencers, how do we tell who's genuine and who's blowing hot air?
When we see someone paying for advertisements, we normally try to stay away from that. Because if you're paying for an advertisement, what you're looking for is sales. You're looking for a return on your advertisement, which means they are there to collect money from you.
And I think it really depends on if you watch enough. So first, don't just watch one person. Like if you follow us on TikTok, don't just watch us. Follow 10, 20, 30, 100 people and consume as much content as you possibly can before you get started. So not forever. But when you're starting your education, you're trying to discern who's good, who's bad. You got to watch a lot of different people. Find people from different countries, different point of views, even especially point of views that are differing to yours.
So we share both our losses and our gains. And I think that really helps people online as well. Because investing is not just about making money every single month, week over week, month over month, year over year. It's a long-term journey. You earn and you lose.
Yeah. We want to give the fairy tale endings and also the horror stories so they know that it's not just sunshine and roses.
The previously esoteric world of finance has been burst wide open, with younger investors storming onto the scene. But what does the old guard think of all this? I'm speaking to Kelvin Tay, Regional Chief Investment Officer at UBS, to hear what he thinks of the new generation of investors. Kelvin, many young investors are flooding the market hoping to bolster their savings. Are they likely to make a quick buck?
It's largely to do with luck. If you're investing in a period where the stock market is strong and there is a bull run, then you are in a position to make some quick buck out of that or a windfall. Very few of the millennials were actually doing due diligence on the stocks that they're buying in. They were investing more based on their readings of, you know, probably some media articles here and there, or hearsay from their friends. So It really depends on the state of the market it is in at the point in time. So I think that's something that we need to actually consider, that these young investors need to consider. They need to consider the macro environment, the underlying fundamentals of the stocks before they actually embark on investing.
According to Kelvin, information from online investing communities should be taken with a pinch of salt.
I mean, if you look into these forums and you read what they are posting, the rationale that is given for buying into a particular stock has very little to do with fundamentals. And by fundamentals, I mean things like parameters like, for example, valuations, right? How expensive or cheap the stock is on PE, on price to book, on dividend yield basis, etc., right? What is the potential for these companies, right? A lot of the reasons given for investing in a stock were largely based on emotions, on a sense of justice. And I'm referring to particularly a couple of examples there. So it's actually quite different, right? And you know that on a longer term basis, you can't be investing in stocks via these rationale. It has to be based on the fundamentals of valuations, on the outlook, on the earnings growth, things like that.
With the finance world evolving more rapidly than ever before, can regulations keep up with new vulnerabilities to protect inexperienced retail investors?
Regulations will always be behind the curve, right? And you don't want regulations to be too tight as well, given that very tight regulations tend to stifle entrepreneurship, tends to actually prevent creativity, tends to actually, you know, prevent growth from actually happening, right, in particular industries. So you don't want the regulations to be too tight. You want an environment where, you know, you have a very educated public to make the investment decisions on their own without having to actually rely on the state to actually help them, you know, to protect them, right? You don't want a nanny state kind of thing. And of course, you know, in the kind of situation, if the state regulations are too tight, then you also get other investors complaining, right? Saying that, you know, oh, I want to do this investment, I'll do that investment, but, you know, I can't do it because the government or the state thinks that I'm not smart enough and they're trying to overprotect me. So you need to draw a balance, and it's very hard to strike a balance. And I think I would actually prefer a situation where it is more or less up to the investor to actually take hold of the responsibility and not push the responsibility to the state or to the government itself. I think that's for the good of everyone.
So Kelvin, how can young investors take matters into their own hands and educate themselves?
You have to do your research. You have to read as much as you can. You need to ask questions, and you need to basically look through the history, look through the track record. If you're investing in a particular fund, if it's a particular company, you probably want to go through the annual reports, or if you can get your hands on some of the research reports, look through that as well. There is no substitute for doing the footwork, right? You need to roll up your sleeves and basically do the work. That's the only way, that's the only foolproof way to actually protect yourself.
Okay, so Kelvin, I put in all the research, right? I've done all the hard work, like you said. So when can I be sure that I've learned enough and that I'm sufficiently educated in investing?
There's never enough proper education about investing because the investment world keeps changing. Yesterday, I was at a fireside chat with Ray Dalio, who is the founder and co-CIO of the world's biggest hedge fund, Bridgewater. And he said that participating in the investments world is far more difficult than participating in the Olympics because of the myriad of things that's going on at the moment. And you are basically competing with millions of people and not just with a couple of athletes here and there. And the situation is always changing. It's actually extremely complex. You don't know what is going to hit you. There's so many risks you're talking about, right? There's political risk, there's geopolitical risk, which is very evident right now with the Russia-Ukraine situation. There is the fundamental risk of the company. There is the monetary policy risk. There is the fiscal policy risk. So many risks, right? And when you combine all that together, you know, it can be very, very overwhelming. So investors must never stop educating themselves. They need to learn, right? And even though I've been in the markets for 26 years to be exact, I am still learning everything. Every day I learn something new about the markets.
So, we've seen an increasingly democratized finance world with younger retail investors disrupting the space. And with the wealth of information and investment tools available online, such as educational content produced by professionals and finfluencers alike, there's no telling what will happen next in the evolving investment scene. One thing's for sure though, it's up to young investors to educate themselves and make their own investment decisions. With the abundance of information and the constantly emerging threats, amateur retail investors must proceed with diligence and caution if they want to come out on top. I'm Zachary Tham, and this has been The Assembly Ground by NUS on CNA Campus. Till next time, goodbye.